Greetings, bad movie lovers, and welcome to a special sneak preview of one of the new members-only series here at the show, Bimon Sci-Fi Con.
That's right, it's Bimon Sci-Fi Con!
Join me and my co-host Stephanie Kennerly, who you may remember from such episodes as Volcano, Sudden Death, and Life, as we get together twice a month to venture across the landscape of science fiction from the astounding to the absurd. And for this episode, we are leaning towards the astounding as we talk about a film that belongs in the upper echelon of sci-fi film history. We're talking about Contact from 1997. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Bimon Sci-Fi Conversations. I'm joined by my co-pilot on the spaceship to nowhere, Stephanie.
Hey, happy to be here.
Yeah, good afternoon to you.
Happy to be piloting the spaceship because it's important to go nowhere, you know.
It is. You still need somebody at the controls, though, just in case.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, gotta be sure that everything's going smoothly, you know, because you don't want a rough ride to nowhere.
Yeah.
It's gotta be smooth.
You definitely can't trust me at the helm.
Yeah, I knew that the first time I met you.
Yeah, exactly. but yeah, today we're sort of veering into better sci-fi movies, like good quality stuff in comparison to maybe the things that we've talked about so far. And this is
how your dare you malign our previous films. No, I'm kidding. Yes, I solidly consider this one a good film. This is a 5-star film to me. It has always been one of my favorites.
Well, it is Robert Zemeckis, based on the Carl Sagan novel that I haven't read, but you have, and screenplay by James V. Hart and Michael Goldenberg, and the original story by Andrew Yin and Carl Sagan. So, like you said, this is a important movie for you in sort of like your sci-fi sphere, and it does give me confidence that when I sort of looked back and felt that 1997 was a very good year for my kind of movies, that this is on the list of 1997 films.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else was out in 97, so I can't comment on that a bunch. But I have to say this one in particular, you know, it makes the grade for me. I mean, so 97 was quite a few years ago now, but this was one that I saw when it was new. I saw it in the theater, and I remember walking out with this sense of awe, and I still get that feeling every single time I watch it. So that's it pretty much can't get better than that.
That's a nice feeling to have. I sort of had like mixed feelings about this movie when it came out because it's not cut from exactly the same cloth as other sci-fi movies that I tended to like at the time. It's a little bit more heady and doesn't mince words about how it handles its theological undertones and overtones, but you know, it's not exactly like a Star Trek or Star Wars or something where there's a freaking spaceship and you're seeing all this other stuff. You know, this is very much grounded in like kind of how would this happen realistically, and a lot of government red tape that goes along with that. And so it's like, it's almost like part courtroom drama, but the courtroom is what, the Senate or the Inquisition at the Capitol building. And then the other part is like, hey, this is some probably close to pretty legitimate science in a lot of ways.
Oh yeah. It's, I mean, it's sci-fi definitely because it's a science fiction story, but that's not what it's about. It's about humans and it's about society and how we would handle something like this. And, you know, I think it's really realistic, like, especially with everything that's gone on, I don't know, in the last like decade or so, it's made clear that just some of the things that they throw out in this movie, like a terrorist attack by extremist groups and like, you know, politicians that are more worried about their, you know, their numbers, whether their constituents are going to support them if they go through with this, you know, this decision to build this machine, and like just the politics and the, like, it's so complex. And that's one of the reasons why it amazes me so much that it was written by Carl Sagan, an astronomer. Like he knew people, you know, like, and he was a genius, and yeah. Just the way he was able to craft this story that wasn't really about what it looks like on the surface, but was such a brilliant and brilliantly told story for what it actually was about, you know, the humanist story. It's just, it's astounding. I could talk about it forever.
Well, we're going to try to limit that to probably 90 That's minutes true. Or so. But yeah, it's a rare case of like a science fiction story being written by like a famous scientist, like someone who was very fundamental in American, just like scientific language. And like, I didn't even realize that until after the fact. You know, the movie at the end says for Carl, and I was like, Carl Sagan? And then it cuts to, oh, Carl Sagan. So yes, of course, when I watched this, I was a 13-year-old, so I wasn't really thinking about Carl Sagan. But in the subsequent years of my life, I've learned more. And so to sort of learn that and pair it with the kind of movie that this is, it makes a lot more sense than maybe it did when I was a kid, because I'm like, well, I want to see a spaceship with like laser guns. And this is like a sleepy, cerebral sci-fi movie that, even though it's pretty heady, I think rests its head on a pillow of emotions. And I liked it more than I anticipated I would the second time around, because it's like, this is a movie I always knew about. It's a movie that I respected, but never a movie that sort of made it into my personal sort of favorites of the sci-fi range. So it was nice to go back and watch it again and really sort of take on the themes. And, you know, I ended up having a very long conversation on another good movie last night on a friend's podcast. And that sort of got the wheel spinning of like, oh, wow, it is a different sort of muscle to flex to talk about a good film versus what I normally do. Because, yeah, a lot of the time I'm having fun and that's perfectly fine. And I really love doing the show, but it is nice to actually talk about a film that is well made and well articulated and sort of true to the nature of the story that spawned it. And honestly, like, the theological stuff probably got to me more, and some of the philosophical stuff about the film was much more engaging than any of the sci-fi stuff. So very weird experience. Almost like this movie is very much like a religious movie at the same time as being a science fiction movie. And I think that probably is what turned me off of it when I was younger, because I couldn't quite reconcile those two things at the same time. And now watching it as an adult, I'm like, oh, wow, I actually do see why this works.
Yeah. So it's funny that you say that, because I can totally see that as a 13-year-old boy, you know, you might not key in on that theological story. But I had the complete opposite experience, partially because of just things that were happening in my life. So I was, you know, almost the same age as you, as 12 and a half. So I was in the seventh grade, and I was actually being bullied because I wasn't Christian. Wow. I was going through a lot of problems. You know, I'm from the Bible Belt, and like I was being extremely bullied because I didn't believe in God. And then I went to this theater and I saw this movie and I saw Ellie, who is me, except for the fact that I'm not a scientist, but like, but I believe in science. And the way she had to navigate through all these experiences and the way she was able to keep kind of her humanity at the same time and like look at people on opposite sides of the issue, like Palmer Joss, the, you know, the preacher in the story played by Matthew McConaughey, and how she was able to relate to him with like patience and curiosity, and like they could have discussions about it. And that was beautiful to me. And the final message of the movie about how like she ended up having an experience that was very much like his religious experience, but just from a different angle, and how they ended up like completely understanding each other. I just went through the entire movie here, but the point being, exactly. All right. You know, thanks for listening, but no, the point being because of who I was and what I was going through at that point in my life, this movie hit immediately for me. Given that it is definitely, like you said, much more of a humanist story than a sci-fi story.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, the reason that I remembered the movie was because of the relationship with Ellie and her dad passing away. Like, my dad died when I was 7, so, you know, a few years before this movie came out. And so, like, that aspect of it always stuck in my mind somewhere, like the notion that the core of this movie is this journey to like find her father and to reconcile this relationship that sort of ended abruptly, and how science connected her to her dad, and how her going on that journey wasn't just about finding something out in the universe. It was about repairing parts of that lost relationship. Like, the reason that I love movies and the reason that I talk about movies and started a podcast and a website and all that was because my mom was in the industry and she worked for a movie magazine. And so like her and I always talked about movies, and she would always give stuff to me to watch and be like, what do you think of this? And we would have like pretty interesting conversations about that. And then when she passed, me being able to be in a place where like I wanted to I still wanted to talk to her about them, but I didn't have that option. So I was like, I need to start writing as if I were talking to her about the things that I've seen. And so that's kind of where all of this stuff started. And so that like emotional sort of anchor point for the whole film is what made me remember it. And so when you brought it up, I was like, okay, I'm interested to go back and watch this because of those reasons, and maybe I'll feel differently about it. And I did feel differently about it, and I do think it actually is a very good sci-fi film. And even though it's probably still not necessarily like the core sci-fi film for me, I think if we were like putting together a list of the most important sci-fi films that were ever made, I could see this definitely being on that list.
Yeah, I would agree. And the movie does so brilliantly exactly what Carl Sagan wrote the story for. It's, he very much like wanted to, you know, communicate to society at large, the importance of science and the importance of listening to other perspectives and respecting. And that's just, you know, that's an extremely important message. And it's something that you don't always get. I guess science fiction is a very good genre for that kind of message. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely a little more overt in this one than your typical, but I mean, even things like Star Trek, it's, you know, embracing other cultures and, you know, peaceful exploration and all those kinds of things. But, that's really what science is about. That's what science fiction should be about.
thank you for checking out this preview episode of Bi-Mon Sci-Fi-Con. I look forward to embarking on this journey with Stephanie, and I hope you had a good time with us too. If you did, you can join the Resistance members only and get more exclusives like Bad Movie Futures, Rom-Comathon, and anything else I decide to tack on by clicking on the link in the show notes or going to badmovieswelove.captivate.fm/support. Thank you for listening. Be good. Do good. Take care, everybody.
Mr. Pop.
Eat.